Let's take a moment to think a little bit about this business of eternal life or eternal glory or going to heaven or whatever phrase you might want to use for it, eternal life. It's always good to think about our ultimate destination, but at this time of year, it seems to come up more and more. We're in this season of glory. Honorable people know this, that we have the glimpse of eternal life on the face of Jesus 2 weeks ago at the Feast of the Transfiguration, but that was just a passing glimpse. It didn't last. Peter said, it's good for us to be here, let's stay here, let's go 3 booths here. He was saying that when he was seeing glory, but after the glory faded, he didn't want to stay up there anymore. What are you going to do up there? What are you going to eat? So you can't just stay there. So that was a passing glory. But then a week later, last week, we celebrated the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary, and that glory is not fading. She's still glorious, as glorious this week as she was last week and forever. That's the kind of eternal life we're really thinking about. Not something temporary, but something lasting. We're going to celebrate her again in 2 days for her queenship. Okay, so this time of year, we're thinking about glory. We're thinking about lasting glory. And on Sunday, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Well, what does live forever mean? And yesterday, the rich man asked Jesus, what good must I do to enter eternal life? Well, what's eternal life? What is this thing that seems so attractive to us? It's a little bit mysterious. And theologians have pointed out that when we ask for eternal life, we don't really know what we're asking for, because we haven't experienced it, but we have a longing for it. We have a restlessness for it. And we say, well, eternal life, is it just more of what we have that doesn't end? That would be terrible, to live like this forever. What we really want is the good part, the joys, the satisfaction, the peace, the fulfillment, without all the bad part. And death is not the only bad thing. I mean, just to eliminate death would mean we'd live on and on like this in a world full of sickness and corruption and wars. And you want to live like that forever? Okay, you're not going to be very happy. So eternal life is not just more of the same. It's something better. And it can't just mean sitting on a cloud. Like we're not made for just the same. We would, no matter how good something is, eventually we get tired of it. Your favorite food, favorite movie or whatever, favorite activity, favorite song, eventually you say, well, let me watch something else. Even though I love this movie, I'm not going to watch it 25 times. Okay, so we're talking about something that we know is good, that we know that we're hungry for it, and yet we're not exactly sure what it is, but we think all we have to do is do the right thing, get in good grace with God, and we'll get it. That was the man yesterday, right? What good must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to get this thing that I want? And Jesus gave him the advice, well, okay, follow the commandments, first of all. That's the basics, follow the commandments. But then when the man said, well, I'm already doing that, it's still not, it hasn't worked yet. Then Jesus said, okay, give away all your stuff, all the things that you think are making you happy, and follow me, and then you'll have eternal life. That's the way. To be with God is eternal life. To be united with Jesus Christ is eternal life. Okay, now today's readings also, I think, invite us to reflect on this. We have this first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, a condemnation of the prince of Tyre. I'm not sure who this is, and maybe it doesn't refer to only one particular world leader. I remember reading this years ago, and it sounded like a caricature. Like, Who talks like this? Who says, I'm a god and I reign over heaven and earth and I'm wiser than Daniel? Who talks like that? Well, actually, in the past years, I've encountered a lot of people. I mean, we hear a lot of people talk just like this. Politicians and celebrities and sports figures, they act and they talk like this. Oh, I'm the greatest in the world. I'm the greatest that ever did this or that. Really? Do you really think that about yourself? I think some people really think this, but most people don't. But anyway, the point here is this Prince of Tyre is claiming to have achieved some kind of divine status, as if he has achieved eternal life. And God has to correct this man and say, you're forgetting something. You're missing something very basic here. You're not a god, you're a man. And even if you do have a lot of money and a lot of power and lots of great clothing, it's not going to last. In fact, you're going to be reduced to nothing. That fine clothing isn't going to stop the swords from piercing you. Your money isn't going to keep you alive when your enemies overcome you. So he proclaims a terrible end of this self-proclaimed god. And we say, well, why would God do that? Not that he wants the man to end up a bloody corpse in the heart of the sea. What he wants is to wake the man up to the truth that he's not a god. Because that's the first step of humility. Anyone who thinks he's a god is in really terrible spiritual condition. And in no condition to receive eternal life. That's to get in the way of eternal life. Okay, so let's set aside that kind of arrogance and turn to what Jesus says here about entering the kingdom of heaven, inheriting eternal life. Remember, this is a continuation from yesterday's gospel. The rich young man had received the invitation and had turned it down, and he went away sad. So Jesus goes on to explain how this works. And the first thing he wants to get off the table is that being rich is going to be an advantage. That's what the rich man thought. I've already got the money. What else do I have to do now? Is that to say I'm one step closer to the goal because I'm rich? And Jesus said, no, that's exactly the opposite. That will get in the way. And so he says here, well, it's hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom. In fact, it's impossible. And the disciples are shocked. But, I mean, if that guy can't make it, who can make it? If that guy who is rich and who follows the commandments, I mean, that's the best advantages. If he can't make it, well, then who can make it? And Jesus puts it very bluntly. For men, the question is, who can be saved? Or, as I started out, who can enter eternal life? Who can enter the kingdom? Who can go to heaven? Who can be saved? And Jesus puts it bluntly, for men, this is impossible. Sorry. You can't do it. You can't buy it. You can't achieve it. You can't climb up into it. But for God, all things are possible. You see the point, and it's so basic that we shouldn't have to say it, but this is not a human achievement. So the rich man in yesterday's gospel had it wrong from the start. What good must I do? You can't do enough good. It's impossible. So don't even think like that. For God, all things are possible. So the whole point is to place ourselves in the hands of God, to follow the way of God, to let God's plan unfold for us. Because God wants us to have eternal life even more than we want to have eternal life. We agree with him that we want eternal life. It's his idea. He planted it in our hearts. And the difference is, for him, it's possible. And for us, it's not. So how does this work? It's a matter of, as I say, placing ourselves in the hands of God, of abandoning ourselves to God, of humbling ourselves before God. And the surprising thing about this is that it works. And so here we see Peter. We have to love Peter because he says things like this so bluntly. Well, we've given up everything. Now, what are we going to get? What are we going to get out of this? So, we've paid the price. We don't have anything. And Jesus says, okay, look what happens when you cooperate with my plan for your eternal life. You who have followed me will, when I'm seated on my throne of glory, you also will be seated on a throne of glory. You're going to have 100 times more than you gave up. And you will inherit eternal life. You see, the contrast, the man in the first reading, the Prince of Tyre, he was already on a throne of glory. And he was boasting about it. A god am I. I have a throne. Well, that's the very thing that will lead to not having a throne. But the opposite direction, Lord, I entrust all I have and all I am to you. And I won't claim any throne. I won't claim any capacity to do it myself. Well, that leads to having a throne. See the opposite? So it's a matter of cooperation with God. We don't force our way into eternal life, because we can't do it. And God doesn't force it on us either. Who could do it, but he doesn't. What God typically does is humble us so that he can exalt us. That's why the first will be last, because if they're first, they get in the way. And the last will be first because they're the ones whom God can raise up to eternal life. So this is, I think, a good thing to reflect on as we continue this season of glory, and we keep reflecting on the glory of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was exactly the opposite of this Prince of Tyre. She did not think highly of herself. She was a humble servant of the Lord, completely without any illusion that she could accomplish great things. But she was the recipient of great things, and she proclaimed, "The Lord has done great things for me." And he has. Well, the Lord has done great things for us too, and he will do even greater things if we will submit ourselves to him, follow him, allow him to accomplish his great plan for us, in us, and through us. That's the way to eternal life.